This is The Takeaway. I'm Melissa Harris-Perry, in for Tanzina Vega. On Thursday afternoon, Representative Joyce Beatty, a Democratic member of Congress from Ohio and chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, was one of nine people arrested by Capitol Police. Representative Beatty was part of a small group publicly demonstrating in opposition to legislative efforts by Republicans in multiple states to restrict access to voting. And this is what Representative Joyce Beatty was doing moments before her arrest. Capitol Police issued a statement saying, quote, nine were arrested for demonstrating in a prohibited area on Capitol grounds. Now, this comes in the same week when Democrats from the state of Texas fled Austin to deny Texas Republicans the quorum necessary to pass a restrictive voting bill. Texas Governor Greg Abbott responded to the move by threatening to arrest the 50-plus elected officials upon their return to the state.
As soon as they come back into the state of Texas, they will be arrested, they will be cabined inside the Texas Capitol until they get their job done.
When voting rights demonstrators are arrested or threatened with arrest, it recalls a shameful period in American history when the power of the state was used not to protect and extend democracy, but to violently limit it. And when elected lawmakers are arrested or threatened with arrest for peacefully gathering to raise their voices and express the concerns of their constituents, it recalls authoritarian nations few would recognize as a democracy. And when all this happens while one political party refuses to investigate a violent recent insurrection that threatened to interrupt the peaceful transition of power, well, that suggests that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people may indeed be in danger of perishing from the earth. Joining me now is a man who knows a little about risking arrest to stand for equal rights, Representative James Clyburn. He's a Democrat representing South Carolina's 6th Congressional District and House Majority Whip. Welcome, Representative Clyburn.
Thank you very much for having me.
Can we start with your reactions to the arrest of Representative Beatty on Thursday?
I am so proud of Joyce. I was not forewarned that that was about to happen. I was a little bit surprised when I saw it. But I'm as proud of her as I can possibly be. She is demonstrating as leader of the Congressional Black Caucus how serious this issue is with us. And it's really, really serious. I'm having a hard time understanding why people can't see that people like me with history like I have here in the South, we do not take voting lightly. There's been some tremendous sacrifices for this. I was in Dillon County this week. I was in Orangeburg County this week. These are places that there's a history of denying the right to vote. Last week, I was in Clarendon County, where Brown v. Board of Education started. So people have to understand, history is instructive, and we will not run away from that history, and we will not do violence to that history, that we are going to remain true to the sacrifices made by so many of our parents and grandparents, and we are not going to allow the vote to be taken away with our participation.
When you talk about that history, I have to say that for me, watching the Texas Democrats this week using their relatively limited power as a minority party in a single state, but nonetheless, by fleeing Austin, they were able to really draw attention to these issues. It feels strategically smart and creative in ways that do, in fact, remind me of the civil rights movement. Have congressional Democrats who you helped to lead been similarly strategic and creative?
I think so. And we are cooperating and coalescing, I might add, with those legislators from Texas. I cannot wait to sit down with them next week, as I did the week before we came home. As you remember, a small delegation of them came to Washington a couple of weeks ago, and I met with them at that time. Royce West, I know very, very well. And as well as many of the others. And we are standing in solidarity with them on this issue.
Now, there's been some public discussion about your position on voter ID laws. Would you like to take this moment to clarify that?
Well, I don't know why people cannot understand that when I have a position and you have a position and we sit down at the table together, we try to find common ground. And I'm against the filibuster. I know the history of it. Strom Thurmond represented South Carolina in the United States Senate when he set the record for the filibuster. And so he was setting that record, filibustering a civil rights bill. So I'm against the filibuster. But there are a lot of people in my caucus who are for the filibuster. So my whole thing is there common ground that can be reached? And I think it can. So we have already accommodated the budget when it comes to the filibuster. We do not allow the full faith and credit of the United States to be subjected to a filibuster. That same principle should apply, in my opinion, to constitutional issues. So all I've said is, if you want to hold on to the filibuster, fine, though I'm against it. But if that's what you want, limit it to legislative issues. Do not allow it to constitutional issues like we don't allow it on the budget. And that's a very simple common ground, it seems to me. You aren't getting rid of the filibuster, but you aren't going to let it apply to constitutional issues such as voting like we don't for the budget. That's all I'm proposing.
Now, there's some reporting that suggests that President Biden has been unwilling to press for this filibuster carve-out that you support. When I think about the very real king-making moment that you had, and not only you, but South Carolina's Black voters in being decisive for President Biden in the 2020 primaries, does the president and his administration, do they owe it to both you and Black Democratic voters in South Carolina and across the country to back this filibuster carve-out strategy?
Well, let me ask you, how many people believe that the Warnock and Ossoff would have gotten elected to the United States Senate from Georgia, the first Jewish guy and the first Black guy electing Georgia, representing Georgia in the United States Senate? So this is a Senate issue. Irrespective of what Joe Biden may feel about it, this is Schumer and the members of the Senate. Manchin would not be sitting in the majority today were it not for Warnock and Ossoff. And their state led on this. Georgia was the first to produce this kind of legislation. Texas and Florida followed them. So people keep wanting to put this between the White House. This rests in the Senate. And the president has said that. Whatever the Senate does with the filibuster, he is going to support. So this is a Senate issue, and it needs to be dealt with by the Senate.
It seems to me that also a Senate issue and one way to tip Senate power durably in the direction of Democrats without any filibuster reform is to move towards statehood for Washington, D.C., and potentially also for U.S. Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico. Are those statehood positions things that you personally support and that you're trying to move the Democrats towards?
I personally support statehood in both instances, but I also know that that is not necessarily the case with all Puerto Ricans in the United States Congress. And so I stay out of that, but I do support statehood for the District of Columbia. Always have, am on the bill this time, and I always have been on it.
Now, I want to go back for a moment to voter ID laws. And again, there's been a little bit of public discussion that you may have shifted your position there. Can you clarify for us your position on voter ID laws?
You know, I don't know why people keep misrepresenting that. I have never been against voter ID. Now, if you see a heading, as it was in a tweet, that had to do with a specific ID requirement, which said, as it did in Texas, if we will require a photo ID, and the photo ID on a hunting license is good, but a photo ID on a student activity card is no good. That's what I have spoken out against. And I wish people would just stop misrepresented my position on that. I ID myself every time I go to vote. And I've been doing that since the age of 21, because 18-year-olds could not vote when I was coming along. Every time I go to the polling place, I present my voter registration card for the poll worker to compare it with her list. That's IDing myself. I've always done that. I've never been against that. So I am against you telling me a photo on a hunting license, and I don't own a gun and do not hunt, but a photo on a student activity card, a college student, is no good. That's what I have been against. I've spoken out against that, and I would ask anybody to take a look at the South Carolina law. When South Carolina required voter IDs, we sued them, and we won. Not because we got rid of ID, but we got concessions from them on making the ID fair and equitable.
So let's stay in South Carolina for just a second. I'm your neighbor just to the north in North Carolina, and have been a Nikki Haley watcher for a very long time. It seems pretty clear that your state's former governor, Nikki Haley, is likely to make a bid for the U.S. presidency. Do you have any thoughts about her likely candidacy?
Well, Nikki Haley is a member of the Republican Party. She is a disciple of Donald Trump. And I am not for anybody who supports an insurrectionist.
Well, that's clear enough. Representative Clyburn, let's also stay in South Carolina for a bit to talk about the realities of the new Delta variant and unvaccinated people and these rising rates of COVID. Can you talk to us about the situation around COVID in your home state in South Carolina?
This week and last week, I've held 6 town hall meetings talking about this. 99.5% of all the people who are contracting COVID-19 now have been unvaccinated. I'm doing everything I can to get the word out that people need to get vaccinated. People need to stop listening to the Trumpers of the world who see a conspiracy in this. People need to stop this foolishness. People are dying, and we better get control of this virus, or we will never return to any degree of normalcy.
Representative James Clyburn, it is always such a pleasure to speak with you. Democrat representing South Carolina's 6th Congressional District and the House Majority Whip. Thank you for joining
Thank
the Takeaway.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.